Good morning and greetings to all of you. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord and to worship God. I had to think of it's cold, and if I were in a country that was a restricted country, would I think enough of God that I would get up and travel maybe on foot for many miles? Maybe it's not cold, maybe it is cold, whatever. And I think of that many times, of our brothers and sisters around the world. I think of when, growing up, we often heard about Russia, communist Russia, Soviet Union, Romania, places that were, those stands seemed like those are the ones we heard mostly of, as I remember. And thinking of what their life is today, there are many more countries that would fit into that category as well. So we have it relatively easy and quite comfortable, really. This morning I'm going to talk about the Bible, the Word of God. And I guess what brought this to my mind was thinking of last Sunday, the service that we had. The whole service, really, I was impressed with. Tristan read the devotional, and I think he read two chapters out of Proverbs. A lot of reading. And I thought of that. We don't often do that. And it's a big thing among BMA. I think it's at Ministers MEW, where there's someone assigned to read a portion of Scripture. I think they choose it themselves, but it's about 15 minutes. So you can read a whole book, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. But this is a big thing they have, and they don't make comments. It's just reading the Scripture, hearing God's Word, the importance of that. And I think we need to do that more. And so, and then with Sunday school last week, it was a good Sunday school, I thought, the whole service. And then with the chorus here singing, talking about the Word of God and in different forms and fashions of singing, talking, teaching. Sam provoked the thoughts of our class and had good discussion. And today as well. It's been a good service, and I'm glad that we can be here and that we can do this for God, because it's what we want to do. And I trust that everybody that's here is here because they want to be here, not because you had to come or you're afraid, well, if I don't go, what's somebody going to say? Where are they at? What are they doing? But no, we go because of out of a grateful heart for God, why we want to fellowship with each other. And I just feel sorry for people that can't go to church because they have some kind of feeling about somebody, and they can't get past that. And so if we have those feelings, it hinders our worship to God. And so let's not allow things to come between us or to interrupt our love for God, because it's not about here to see who's here, but it's here simply to praise and honor and worship our Lord. And so that's what the Word does. My text, if it is that, I had a little problem trying to find one text. So I have three different portions of Scripture. And then I'm going to read many more Scriptures. And hopefully it won't be boring. I know when there's a lot of reading, it can be tiresome, and it can become boring. But we'll try to keep your attention with God's help. We can do that. So you can turn to St. John chapter 1. We're going to read the first five verses there, and then we'll go to Genesis 1, 1 through 5, and then into 1 John 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So, what are some similarities that you see through those portions? They all say in the beginning. And so I want to look at a little bit of the origin of the word, and how that Jesus is a part of this picture. The Bible is called, the scriptures are the word of God are called in numerous titles. We often refer to the Bible as the scriptures, or the Old Testament would be the law. Some people will look at the Bible as a law, and so on. But it is the word of God, and within the Bible are God's words, and they are for our reading. We don't worship God's words, but we worship the God who wrote and had the words scribed by faithful people. And so, looking at these scriptures, John says, "In the beginning was a word." So he called Jesus the word. So the word is referring to Jesus. We know that. This may seem elementary, but some of the history I think is interesting. I learned some things through this study, so I hope you will as well. As John starts here and he talks about the Jesus' life. Well, in Genesis 1, God, the writer Moses, is talking and is giving the account, the historical facts of the creation. So in the beginning, there was nothing as far as the world is concerned. There was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They were always eternal, but there's nothing else. And so looking at that, the writer says it was empty, it was void, and without form. So just try to picture that. What was it? Just a blob of something out there, and just a lot of darkness. And I know if you've been in somewhere where it's really dark, it's really dark. You can't see anything. And it's not a comfortable place. I don't like to be in those kind of places. And so I like when there's light. And my wife can tell you that. I go around snapping on lights, and she goes around snapping off lights. And it's like, I don't like darkness. I never like darkness. I like light. I want to see. If there's somebody out there, I want to see them before they just pounce on me. So anyway. So in Genesis, God created the physical world. And it says that God didn't like darkness either, I have a feeling. I don't think he liked what he saw. And so he made something beautiful. He created, he made something out of nothing. He spoke the world into existence, gave it some kind of purpose and some kind of a plan. And so that's what we're experiencing today, the world, the earth. If you look at a globe of all the continents of the world, the countries, whether it's in Europe or Asia or South America, Latin America, North America, they all have peculiar shapes. And I think that's interesting. Now, what the flood had to do with that, I'm not positive, but I think God was in the creation mode even then. And so we go back to Genesis. Okay, let's go to St. John 1. It's Jesus is eternal. Jesus was part of the physical creation of the world, including man, and the beginning of the incarnate Christ's earthly ministry. So John is, he's also stating, going back to the beginning, saying that Jesus was there, and the Word was there. So the Word was with God, and Jesus in the New Testament says that the Word was God. Well, that's what it says here. Okay. So the same was in the beginning with God. So Jesus always was. And then 1 John 1 brings out the account of these are the disciples. They are eyewitnesses of what took place at that time. And so the eyewitnesses, it's an eyewitness account from the disciples of Jesus as man, and he introducing man to God, his Father. That was his purpose of coming, was to create salvation, the forgiveness of sin, the gospel as such, but it was to show us the Father. And the disciples asked him at one time, well, show us the Father. You talk about your Father. Show us the Father. Jesus said, if you see me, if you see the Son, you see the Father. So they are one. And Jesus was in the Genesis account, Genesis 1, he was a part of that, what took place. And John 1, 1 John 1 tells us that. And I find it interesting, too, if you look in reading that. There are three senses of our, what do we have, five or seven? I can't remember, five, I think, right? Three of those senses were present there that John talks about. He says, with our eyes, we saw. With our ears, we heard. With our hands, we felt. So can you imagine how exciting that would have been? And they, again, they were in history making. So their experience was a little different than ours. To that fact, looking back, reading about it, we see the end from the beginning. But they were there. They saw God as Jesus as God. They heard him speak with their ears. They had hands that felt. They touched him. They walked with him. They lived with him for 3 years. So they were eyewitnesses. How exciting that would have been to been there, to be a part of that. I know there were dark times, and there were disappointing times. Life is like that. But at the same time, how great that would be. And for you and I, we can look forward. You know, one day, we're going to see with our eyes. We're going to hear with our ears. We're going to touch with our hands. I believe that. If we are faithful, and we can spend eternity with him. So, Jesus, God said, let there be light. And so and we know when light comes into a room or into an area, the darkness has to go. It leaves. And so God called the first day, Okay, he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. again, and then 1 John talks about, St. John talks about Jesus coming, the Word, and he was life. He brought life. And that life was the light of men. Again, it's bringing in the light. You know, evil and sin and everything of that nature is always considered as darkness. And where God's presence is, there can be no darkness. Then it gives light. And so I like that connection from creation into Jesus coming into the spiritual life of how light and darkness and how the life and light separates the darkness from the light and what it does and that we can see what we're doing. But it says the darkness comprehended it not. People didn't, and we talked about that in our Sunday school lesson, it being rejected. Jesus was rejected all through many times in his ministry as well. So, Jesus also said that the reason for him coming was to give life to people and to give a hope that Curtis talked about and read about and that we think of as we enter the Christmas season. The hope that we have is because of what Jesus came and did for us. He gave us a new life. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And then in John 6:63, it says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Within the scriptures lies the gospel. We talk about the gospel. What is the gospel? That Webster says it's glad tidings or it's good tidings. And we can see that these good tidings are woven all through the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. The story of salvation is in there. And that was what the Word of God, that's why we have the scriptures, the Bible to read, and it points us to God. And most times when we refer to the Gospels, we mean the first four books of the New Testament, obviously. That is, as the Gospel writers, they were eyewitnesses of Jesus being around them. They understood. They heard what he said. They recorded through the Holy Spirit what they were to write for, so that we would know and understand today. And so it's basically contained for the most part within those four books. But within the whole New Testament, the writers all refer to the gospel and sharing the gospel in different ways. There are critics, there are scoffers, there are skeptics. But don't allow those to deter you from trusting and believing God's word. As John said in the book of Revelation, Revelation 22:11, he said, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." So, we can proclaim through our lives and through our lips, but let's not allow those folks to deter us or to discourage us or to change our mind. They have that choice as well. And so, okay. Let's move on. I have 6 points that I want to tell us and remind us of what the Word does. The first one is the Word endures. It's the book of ages. And these scriptures will point out that the Word of God will endure forever. The first one is Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And in Matthew 24, 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And 1 Peter 1, 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So, never fear. They can burn this book. They can tear out its pages. They can destroy it in whichever and however people would choose to do to try to get away from the penetrating word of God, but to no avail. Those words will, if they're in our hearts and in our minds, they cannot take them away from us, and they will endure. Jesus and God said they would endure. And they have survived these 2,000 plus years. And today we are reading and privileged to have God's word among us. Some of the things I've read recently of, I think it was one of the countries of Africa where the Boko Raton, that evil Islamic group or terrorist group that came in, and they raised a lot of havoc in a lot of those countries. And they came in and they shot, I think the husband was a pastor, and they just surprisingly come into a village, and usually at night, and they shot the pastor, they shot into the house, and they killed, I think, four people and wounded others. And then they stole motorcycles. Those that didn't, they burned, and just caused all kinds of havoc. But in this one case, it was the mother and I think two children were able to run out of the house, and they escaped. But they left with nothing. They weren't able, and it happens, it sounds like it's common. They leave everything. They don't even have anything with them except the clothes on their back. And one of the things that they often mention that when someone goes and distributes Bibles, they are so grateful for a Bible. That's the one thing that they wish they could have and would have taken if they had a Bible, but they want a Bible. And it's above, seems like it's more important than food or clothing. And that puts me to shame. And I will have a little bit more on that in a minute here. Okay, the next one is the word as food. Food for the soul. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled, if I can read it here, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God the Lord doth man live. I'm sorry, I sort of butchered that. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Those are words, and we talked about that in Sunday school, Jesus' temptation, and that was the first temptation that Satan threw at Jesus about making stones into bread, and that was Jesus' response. And he was simply responding from Old Testament scripture prophecy, and he was fulfilling it. Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Is that where you are? Can you say that? I can't. I'm looking forward to within the next hour to have food. But I have some growing to do. Psalm 119, 103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. 1 Peter 2:2, as the newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Again, it's a challenge for us. You know, if we weren't quite so blessed, and I'm not asking or looking to have less, but if I did, what if I was one of those millions of people in other places? What if I didn't know what I was going to eat when I go home? And it might not be turkey and gravy and mashed potatoes and all that good stuff. It might just be a piece of bread, if I was lucky to have that, and some water. Maybe God's word would mean just a little more. Maybe it'd be a little sweeter because of my dependence that I would have to place on God as my father rather than in my freezer, my bank account, the stores. Something to think about. Not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. But those are things I think we fail to, and it's not our fault, I don't think. It's not our fault that we were born in America where it's plenty. I'm grateful. We're thankful. But at the same time, our responsibility, I think, is a little greater. We have to work a little harder to take the time to invest to know God and to have a relationship with Him. And the only way we can do that is through His Word. That's the only way we can do that. So I just encourage us in that. The next one is word inspired, divinely inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So again, don't allow scoffers or critics or anybody else try to tell you that it was only a man. Only man. It was men, but they were. The word, the Bible tells us, and we know the Bible is truth, that men were inspired. It was a Holy Spirit that was behind their writings. So let's not doubt that. Number four is word in the heart. Precepts written in the heart. Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. There are so many, and what I'm doing is only not even scratching the surface of scripture that would point out the importance and the benefit of God's word. And it seems like the writer of Psalms, especially 119, there are so many verses that I don't know. I mean, some of those writings were David, and then there were other writings, and I'm not sure if David was the one that wrote 119, but just seems like the gratitude and the worship that came out of that writer's heart is so amazing. How his perspective, how he saw God, how he felt toward God, and how important God was to him. And he was verbally able to express that. And it's for our benefit today. It says again, you know, David, I just was reading that recently, how David was running from King Saul for his life and hiding and so on. And so I can see him writing this. He said, thy word have I hid in mine heart. And how often he cried out to God to deliver him from his enemy as well. Romans 10:8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How long could we go without food if we were to have an all-day service and we would just simply do that? We would be singing and praising hymns and spiritual songs with grace in our hearts. Could we get past lunch? Would the hunger pains interrupt our worship? Would it me? I'm just asking. But in true worship, I think we wouldn't worry about physical food. But anyway, just the importance of God's word within us. You know, they often say it on the radio on 99.1, I think it is, how that the importance of God's word, reading it and studying it, is just as important as eating our physical food. For our spiritual lives, we need to do that. I know we know that. I'm only reminding us and encouraging us to continue to do that. Our next one, number 5, is God's word, a light in darkness. Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. And again, Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words, giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. And then Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And then 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Again, the word of God gives us light. As Jesus came in the beginning and as God created light, so the word shows light, and that word is Jesus Christ. Number 6, the word is powerful, mighty in its influence. In Jeremiah 23:29, he says, it's as a crushing hammer. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And in Romans 1:16, it's a saving power. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In Ephesians 6:17, it's a defensive weapon. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then in Hebrews 4:12, the very familiar verse, a probing instrument. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we see, and this is only a few of the things that if I were to go through, which I wouldn't be possible for me to do that, but I could have a lot more areas that the Word of God covers and touches in our lives and what it is for us and what it does for us. And so my purpose as I started on this subject, the Word of God, like, where am I going? What's my purpose? What's the plan? Where am I going? I was I didn't know. Even last night, I didn't know. And it's interesting how, as you start, and I've had this happen many times, the Spirit directs me in a little different way and direction than I originally thought maybe I would go. And again, a lot of familiarity, but that's what we need to remind us and to help us and to guide us and encourage us, simply encourage us. You know, we can all improve, and I'm sure for myself, and I think I can honestly say that for all of us, we have a long way to go. And I want to leave you with Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. If we do that, we will be successful. And I think we can proceed to the end and hear those words, thou good and faithful servant. So, God bless you and keep you and give you a good week. We do have a closing song, I think 711 in the Faith and Praise. You could stand and we'll pray and then we'll sing. Thank you, Father in heaven, for again the wonderful blessing and privilege to be here in your house with your people today. Thank you for each one that is here today. And I pray that as we leave, that we would continue to hunger and thirst after your word, and that we would apply your word to our hearts, and that we would know the importance of that in order to have a relationship with you and to rely upon your guidance and your direction for our lives. And so we thank you that your word is a light to our path. Thank you. I pray again, bless your people wherever they are today. Those that are traveling, may you be with them and bring them home safely as well. May you receive glory and honor and praise, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.